It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
We're thrilled to have back in studio today Amos Giora from the University of Utah, and he's been our eyes and ears in Israel, has come back here to the state of Utah. As we've continued to follow this mess, this unhingedness, I think is the new term in Israel, looking at how Benjamin Netanyahu has been looking at really dismantling the judicial system. And Amos, give us an update in terms of where things are there in Israel.
So, Boyd, as always, it's a pleasure to be here and to be in studio and to see Bella again. It's literally an hour-by-hour story that's breaking. Every hour, there's something new happening. I would imagine for the foreign media to try to keep up with this is all but impossible. The Israeli media is also obviously having challenges. But what's clear is that as an important Israeli journalist, Amir Oren, wrote 2 weeks ago in our New York Times in Haaretz, he wrote that Netanyahu prepared for the last war and not this war. Mm. And I think that's 100% correct. I don't think that Netanyahu and his inner circle, which is primarily his wife and his child, son, they did not expect that there would be over 500,000 Israelis every Saturday night demonstrating in over 100 different cities. Yeah. If you do the numbers, there are 10 million or 9 million Israelis. 20% are Israeli Arabs who unfortunately are not participating in this. 15% are Orthodox that are obviously not participating in this, which then means, I'm not good at numbers, but it means 65% out of 9 million can be participating. If 500,000 plus are demonstrating every Saturday night, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And the resistance, it's called the resistance, is incredibly organized. It's beyond sophisticated usage of social media. I'm sure books will be written about this. Today's Monday, Work Week in Israel began yesterday, and the government is in a real rush because it wants to finish legislating before Passover, which is in two and a half weeks, for all kinds of various logistical reasons, because then the parliament goes into a recess for a month because of Jewish holidays. They would like to have everything done before Passover. They're in a real rush, but they're also clearly cognizant of the fact that X percentage of the public is literally up in arms.
Yeah.
And there are examples of not only of reserve soldiers refusing, of the high-tech industry in opposition, of investors pulling out significant money, of special ops reservists. There's a difference between regular soldiers and special ops. Special ops reservists, as of yesterday, no longer come.
Yeah.
That has an enormous impact.
Yeah. I want to get to something that you cued us in on last week from Israel when you were there, talking about this kind of the balance of power, this very unique and very tenuous coalition that Benjamin Netanyahu has put together that really seems to be kind of the core of whether they can continue this dismantling of the judicial system or whether the unhingedness begins to end.
So Netanyahu's government is comprised, like any parliamentary government, it's a coalition. You got to cobble together. There are five parties. There's Likud, which is his party, which is the largest partner. There are two right-wing religious extremist parties and then two Orthodox parties. The Orthodox parties are in this because he's paying them off because all they care about is money for their schools and their way of life. The two extreme right-wing parties are with him because he, in essence, promised them all kinds of measures, particularly against Israeli Arabs. But he's got his Likud party, all the efforts to convince the unhingedness, is that a word, unhingedness?
It is now.
It is, to stop, is focused on four or five different members of his own party and to convince them to indicate that they will vote against the legislation or to convince Netanyahu to modify the legislation or to stop it. And the entire focus, all this unbelievable effort, it's extraordinary to watch 500,000 people.
Yeah. And you told us last week that there was really specific around five particular individuals there that really could end up tilting that balance of power.
The entire effort is focused on these five. Last week, one spoke up at the beginning of the week, and then another one spoke up. Yesterday, another one spoke up. And then if you want to talk about the person, right.
We always talk about the room where it happens. Right. And Amos, we know that you have been in the room where it happens with one of these particular members that really could.
He could be the tilt.
Could be the tilt.
Right. So As you know, I served for 20 years in the Israel Defense Forces, including as the legal advisor to the Gaza Strip. While serving as a legal advisor to the Gaza Strip from 94 to 97, the commander of the one of the commanders of the Gaza Strip, he was a one-star general at the time, was a guy named Yoav Gallant. And Yoav, when he was the commander of the Gaza Strip, made the decision that I, as his legal advisor, in all meetings will have the last voice before Yoav's voice, before he speaks. And also, when there's an operation, I will be in the Jeep with him. Absolutely extraordinary in terms of commander, legal advisor relationship. I also happen to really like you all personally. I need to add that also.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
In the past 10 days, as you know, along with a friend of mine who's a professor of political science at the Hebrew University, we wrote in Hebrew and had it translated into English a 300-word statement about the enabler. Drawing on my research, and I need to add, because we're in Utah, we put Representative Brian King's name, and that's enough. Brian is well known in Israel. He probably wins the Israel vote. And we had no idea when you post something on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, you know, what kind of impact it has. And to our amazement, that statement, which calls Yoav and others out, has been read by demonstrators standing outside his house. It has been adopted as the motto by some of the resistance movements. And then it's 9:30 in the morning here. So a couple hours ago, it was made known through the media that Gallant told Prime Minister Netanyahu that if this doesn't stop, he will resign. And he's not a mere member of parliament. He is the defense minister. And to have a defense minister threaten to resign potentially could be, I don't want to be, you know, get caught up in the language. Could it be a game breaker? I don't know. Can it be significant? Yes. Does it cast doubt on all of this? Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. Well, in situations like this, we're always looking. It's always a tipping point moment, and you never know what that thing that is going to be that causes that tipping point moment to cascade into all kinds of things. And as you said, this has been an hour by hour effort over there in Israel, and so as you project it forward, to me, this is just stunning that suddenly someone is stepping forward, defense minister. Saying, hey, wait a minute, we need to rethink and recalibrate. That's no small thing.
It's no small thing. And there's another person who in the world of, can't make this up, who I also worked with, who became ultimately the head of our security agency, the Shabak. He's in many ways the next target. Will he cave? Will he change? I don't know, because he has his own ambitions. But the fact that the defense minister has made it very clear to the prime minister that this can't continue, you know, one has to be cautious. A million different things that can happen to Israel, but it is a significant cause for optimism.
Yeah, and that's such an important thing as we look at that. And in any liberal democracy, anywhere where you have a republic of any form, that separation of powers is the ultimate balancing element in terms of those who do want power or to have that authoritarian power. And so this is an important stand. This is I know this is seems far away to many of our listeners, and Israel's on the other side of the planet. But this is something that impacts freedom around the world.
I absolutely couldn't agree with you more. As I was smiling as you were speaking, because in the world of, you know, there are no degrees of separation in Israel. The person who's considered to be now the lead candidate, if indeed this goes forward, to be the what we call president here in America, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, also served under me.
Oh. This is why we have Amos Giora as our ultimate inside source when it comes to Israel. We appreciate you coming. I know you've been traveling. You're going a million miles an hour, and I know you're sleeping in all the way until 3 a.m. On most days, and we appreciate you carving out some time for us and a getting pleasure. Us up to speed, and we'll look forward to continuing the conversation real soon.
When I say 24/7, you know what I mean.
That's Amos Giora from the University of Utah, and he gives us such a unique perspective of what is going on in Israel. He was actually there last week. He participated in some of the marches, the protests that were taking place across the country. And again, the issue at stake is the Netanyahu government is looking at a, quote, reform package that would really change the dynamic and the balance of power and the separation of power as it relates to the Israeli Supreme Court. It would basically give Congress the ability to vote by a simple majority to overturn things that have been decided in the courts. And obviously that has created all kinds of outrage and frustration amongst the Israelis. And so there is a very interesting conversation going on. President Biden has weighed in a very strong way. He spoke with Benjamin Netanyahu saying, you got to dial this back. You've got to look at these reforms in a very different way. And then as Amos Giora pointed out, there are a few key members who are part of the governing coalition. And it's such a narrow majority that if any of them pulled out, the whole thing could come tumbling down and it could trigger another election cycle in Israel. We've seen a lot of those over the last several years. But this is one that is super significant because I believe that balance of power, that separation of power between the judicial branch and the executive branch, whether it's here in the United States or whether it's in Israel or other democracies around the world, it really matters. And the path to authoritarianism begins by someone being able to overrule the courts with a stroke of a pen or a simple majority vote. And so we really appreciate Amos Giora from the University of Utah weighing in, giving us that perspective, that insider information. He really has been in a lot of the rooms where it happens as it relates to where things are in Israel. And we will continue to follow that. It's going to be a very important week there in Israel. We'll watch it. We'll have Amos come back and help us dissect it as we get past the headlines and see what's really happening there. All right, we'll step aside for one last commercial break. When we come back, final thoughts on a Monday on Inside Sources. Stick around. We'll be right back.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.